Chapter 2, Mark 19.50.23. Fourth Company Strikes. The first that the word-bearers know of it is a savage serial bombardment of light cannon and field pieces, supported by the immense firepower of a shadow sword and a handful of other significant machines. The word-bearers had forces positioned along Qatar Transit, a main access way that linked the container stores to the northern facilities of Lanshear Port. The forces were supposed to ward Holbeloth's main army from any counter-attack that came around the eastern sweep of the shield wall into numinous territory. The forces do not realize that by occupying the zone around Qatar Transit, they are also effectively guarding the data engine of the Cargo Handling Guild in the bunker system below the majestic prospect of the Guild Hall. It was a majestic prospect. Stippled with shell holes, the Guild Hall remains an inspiring building, crowned by statues of toiling guild porters and the proud Ultima symbol. The area has not been razed wholesale. It is not military. It is commercial. Server Hest chose it very well. The barrage pummels the roadway, levels three blocks of Habs, and scatters the enemy formation. Hundreds of Knife Brother warriors are killed by the shellfire, dozens of word-bearers too. Armoured vehicles are destroyed and left burning in the rain. A traitor Warhound engine, suddenly alert and striding forward like an angry mower, hunts for a hot target. A torrent of cannon fire catches it, hammers it, and beats its void shields down with sheer relentless insolence. Then the Shadow Sword speaks, and a spear of white light kills the Warhound like the lance of some vengeful god. Debris showers for hundreds of meters, felling some of the retreating cultists. Others, urged by their raging crimson lords, dig in behind walls and barriers of wreckage and begin to return fire. Warp flask messages chime and shrill across the zone, desperate calls for support. The land raiders spur forward, hulls streaming with rainwater, kicking out spray from the rain-sheeted roadway. They drive down walls, rolling over the rubble, crunching over the Knife Brothers trapped and killed by the cover they had chosen to use. Sponson Mount Laz cannons rasp into the blue-white twilight, causing the rain to steam and swirl. Heavy bolters shred the air with their noise and drench the enemy positions with destruction. Ventanus leads the foot advance behind the land raiders, double time across the broken streets. To his left, the units led by Sidance, Lorcas, and Celoton. To his right, the units led by Grievous, Arco, and Barca. Ceramicus Scitari form a wide right flank, blocking and punishing an attempt by the Jeyawanate to regroup and countercharge. Spars' infantry mob in behind and to the left of the legionary assault, evicting Knife Brothers from their strong points and foxholes along the northwestern end of the massive carriageway. Word-bearers, a scarlet line in the rain, rise up to block the main charge. Missiles cripple the first of Ventanus' land raiders, leaving it trackless and burning. There is fire from autocannons, the streaks of mass-reactive rounds, both of which drop cobalt-blue figures from the charge. But the word-bearers have developed a taste for cutting, an appetite for blade work. Perhaps it has come from their Knife Brother slave hosts. Perhaps it is simply to do with the sacrificial symbolism of the sharpened edge. Concentrated and well-directed firepower might have broken or turned Ventanus' charge, but it is not used. The word-bearers simply wait for the clash, relishing the prospect. They draw their blades. They want to test their mettle against the vaunted 13th in a skirmish, the outcome of which cannot possibly influence the final resolution of the Kalth War. The traitors want to prove themselves against the paradigms to which they have been compared so many times. There is a crashing, hyperkinetic impact. The charging cobalt-blue bodies reach the solid red line. They tear into it, they rip through it, they mangle it, red and blue together, a blur. Blows are traded. Huge power, huge force, huge transhuman strength. Blood squirts in the driving rain. Bodies crash to the ground, spraying up water. Blade grips grow slick with rainwater, oil and blood. Shields chip and break. Armour fractures. There is a spark of ozone and power mechanics. The crackle of electrical discharge. Ventanus is in the thick of it. Bolt gun, power sword, standard across his back. He shoots away ahead in a cloud of blood smoke. He impales, he chops off an arm and smites a helm in two, diagonally. He has never felt this strong, this driven, this justified. He has never known such an entirely fearless state. There is nothing the word-bearers can do to him any more. They have done their worst. They have burned his world, his fleet, his brothers. They have shed his blood and unleashed their demons. They can shoot him. They can stab him. They can grab him and tear him down. They can kill him. It doesn't matter. It's his turn. This is his turn. This is what happens when you leave an ultramarine alive. This is what happens when you make the foulest treachery your instrument. This is how it comes back to reward you. This is how Ultramar pays you back. Carnage. Carnage. Absolute and total slaughter. The visitation of death in the form of a gold and cobalt-blue storm. A word-bearer, reeling, arms spread, his carapace sliced open to the core, releasing a profusion of blood. Another, hands lost, stumps smouldering, sinking slowly to his knees with a bolter shell blast hole clean through his torso. Another, red helm caved across the left half, the bite of a power sword. Another, jerking and convulsing as mass reactive shells blow out his body and overwhelm his transhuman redundancies. Another, cleft by a power axe. Another, disarticulated by a land raider's cannons. Another, with the tooth marks of a chain sword. Another. 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 Grunt and spit and curse and gasp and bleed and strike and turn and move and kill and die. Ventanus reaches the guild hall, leaps the barricades and lands amongst knife brothers who shriek and flee before him. Red armour comes at him, a sergeant of the 17th bringing down a thunderhammer. Ventanus dodges the swing, lets it pulverise rockcrete. He lunges and drives his sword tip first through visor, face, skull, brain, and the back plate of a helmet. He snatches the blade out. The sergeant falls, flops over, blood welling up out of his holed visor like oil from a freshly drilled reserve. The gutter is running with blood. Ventana smashes down two of the Zenvar Cowl foolish enough to attack him, and then shoots a word-bearer who is coming down the shot-chewed front steps at him. The blast blows out the brute's hip, drops him sideways. Ventanas kills him with his power sword before he can rise again. Sidance passes Ventanas, ascending the steps. He's firing his bolt gun ahead of him, targeting word-bearers at the top by the main doors of the guild hall. Shots streak back at him. The ultramarine beside him, Brother Takes, ends his service there, brains spilled. Sidance's bolter shells put Takes' killer backwards through the panelled doors. The first of the 13th are in the building. Ventanas is with them. Blood and rain drip from them onto the marble floor. "Back up!" warns Grievous. They make space. A land raider drives in through the doors, collapsing them, splintering the wooden bulk of them. Ventanas and his men cover the side hatch as it opens, and Skitari lead Torin out. "Haste!" the server says to Ventanas. "Not a point that needs to be emphasized, server," he replies. It will not take Hol Beloth's assault leaders long to realize that this is not a counterpunch into Landshear. The Guildhall was a specific target. Small arms fire pinks at them from upper galleries in the huge atrium. Sergeant Arco waves up a kill team and heads away to scour the knife brothers out. Artillery and heavy weapons continue to pound outside. The suspended lamps in the atrium swing and sway. Pieces of glass and roof tile fall in from the damaged clerestory far above. Celaton locates the armoured elevator to the Guildhall sublevels. They can rig power from the land raider to light and run the system, but it needs an override code. Torin enters it. "My birth date," she says, noticing Ventanas watching her. "There were two codes," he says. "I have two birthdays, my organic incept and my date of full plug modification. Hest knew both."
"You were close," notes Ventanas.
"Yes," she replies. "He was, I suppose, my husband, my life partner. The Mechanicum does not think in such old-fashioned terms, and our social connections are more subtle. But yes, Captain, we were close. A binary form. I miss him. I do this for him."
The lift shutters open. For a second, Ventanas envies her loss. However approximate to standard human her relationship with Hest might have been, it was still something. An analogue. He is transhuman. He knows no fear, and there are many other simple emotions he will similarly never experience. Outside, soaked in rain, Colonel Sparsi turns as gunfire kisses the walls behind him.
"Oh, damn and fuck!"
he groans. His men see it too. Hall Beloff is coming. He is descending on the Guildhall with a vengeance. He is coming with punishment. He is coming with Titans and Cataphractii and the Gal Vorbach.